We're doing the Sfat Damim. We were in the footnote. The Chafetz Chaim had quoted this work, Shem Olam, that says that one of the reasons we're scattered in the diaspora is because people are looking to live a life of luxury, and then they end up entering tremendous debt. They think they'll get honor by dressing fancy and buying fancy things, and in the end, they bring shame upon themselves and their family, and that's really the price they pay for the luxuries that they allow themselves to buy in this world. And aside from the hefty price that people pay in this world, there's also the price that they're going to pay in the world to come. They're going to have to answer up to their deeds before the master of everything, because people take loans, they don't pay them back, and they're going to have to answer up to that. People take credit card debt, people buy houses on mortgage, and then they think, okay, I reneged on the loan. What does that mean? It's not like you have an option of reneging on your loan. People view it as an option. I took a mortgage. I have a friend who did this. I filed Chapter 11. He said, okay. So now the bank has to deal with the house. When the housing crisis happened, and I couldn't believe what he was telling me. He says, you know, I had two options, either pay or don't. So I chose not to. And that's just wrong. You took a loan, you have to pay it back. Back to the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim says a person will have to answer up to his actions. Val shar averot shavar al yedei haluksus, and the other sins that were all byproducts of the luxuries a person pursued. Val kenei chacham enav b'rosho. So someone who's intelligent looks to the future before he acts. להתנהג בהוצאות ביתו בכל ענייניו רק כפי ערך הרווח שלו ופחות מזה מעט. He just gave us a formula, we should hang this up, you know, if people would live this way, they wouldn't have had the 2008 crisis. A person has to behave with his expenditures in accordance with what he can afford and slightly beneath that. The exact opposite of Western economy, right? Don't charge tomorrow's paycheck. On the contrary, save up this month's paycheck. Save up next month's paycheck. And then when you'll be able to afford something, you'll buy it. Ulay tizdamen lo, ulay tizdamen eze et shelo yarvich kol kach, because maybe there'll be a time when a person will not have such a high income. Uveven ze lo yigab mamon acherim lo yitzech linodet be'ertzecho kal olam. And if you have a nice piggy bank, if you maintain good savings, so then you won't have to take loans from other people. A person won't have to travel far. I once had I was called by a certain instance where a person was going to be evicted because he didn't have the money for rent. So we put together the money. We didn't want the guy. His wife had just been beaten up. A whole long story. Where he was mugged, he was robbed, his boss fired him, like a bunch of tsars fell on a person at one shot. So his landlord said, if he doesn't bring the paycheck, the rent check today, I'm evicting him. Okay? He's entitled to insist on getting his paycheck. So I called up an alumni of ours who lived in that neighborhood, and it's a relatively wealthy neighborhood. Everyone's working people there. And I said to him, I have the money here in Machon Meir cash. I can't bring it to you there, but could you lay out the money? We're talking about 3,500 shekel. So he said, no. I said, what do you mean? What's the big deal? You trust me. We'll see one another. I'll give you the money. It's not like I'm telling you I'll get the money. I have the money right here. He said to me, of course I trust you. I just don't have the money. I said, and you don't have a neighbor you could borrow it from? Someone you know, 3,500 shekel, you know, it's not the end of the world. So he said, no one I know has that kind of money. And I was shocked. Like, people don't save. I would think a person should have lying around the house money that he doesn't use. 7,000 shekel, 8,000 shekel, should put away. That kind of, it's 1 month's salary, 2 months' salary. It takes you a few months, but you put it away, and you should have that kind of money. You know, sometimes a person has to buy an emergency ticket to the U.S. or something else. There are emergencies in life. A person should have a certain piggy bank. You have your savings account in the bank. You should have your savings account in the house. You hide it somewhere. You put it in something that's fireproof, but you should have it. And I hear I'm talking to a person who says, no one I know has that kind of money. So then why are they all living in these fancy neighborhood, fancy houses? If you can't afford to put away 300, 500 shekel a month, so what are you living like that for? Every one of them owns a car. There's a neighborhood where you don't have real bus service. Everyone has to own a car in order to live there. What's going on here? So it struck me that that's what's going on here. They're using their paycheck to its max, including next month's paycheck. So you keep living like that.
Well, couldn't they also just be investing in a lot of other things that they don't have? All their assets are liquid assets.
Could be. But if you know your neighbors don't have it, everyone's investing. Ah, come on. I find that hard to believe. And anyways, that's wrong too. A person should not invest everything he has. Chazal said a third, a third, a third. A third in investments, a third in property, and a third liquid. That's how Chazal said you should divide your money. So if the guy told me I had it in the bank, but I could write out a check, okay, that would make sense to me. But the guy says, I can't, and I don't know of anyone who could either. So how are they living their lives? They're down to minus on every front? That's not right. He said to me, you know, we all barely can finish the month. We always end up going into minus by the end of the month. So that's not a way to live. So.
They encourage it. The society sends you credit cards.
Isn't
you know
there something
that?
In the Gemara that says that
credit cards in the
like you're supposed to spend on certain things, like say your family, beyond your means? There's something about spend. There's situations where you, like for Shabbos, you spend your means, and for like your family or something. There was something about that.
So there is a halacha that discusses about Shabbos, whether you're supposed to go into debt for Shabbos or not. And you see that everyone wonders how exactly to apply that halacha. It's not so simple. And anyways, you have to understand that halacha and know how to apply it. But
it said the opposite, right? It said if you only have enough money for make kiddush over challah or something, rather than to go to charity.
Charity is one thing, debt is another. He's talking about debt. You're talking about charity. That's true. But the issue is, it's a way of life. Meaning, that's what's so important about what the Chafetz Chaim is saying now. People have to have savings. It blows my mind when I see a person eating a popsicle stick and he tells me, you know, I don't have the money to charge my cell phone. So what are you doing buying a popsicle stick? I'm not saying you have to charge your cell phone. But people view their paycheck as, this is what I have to spend. No, it isn't. This is what you have, and most of it you should try to store away, and you'll spend whatever makes sense to spend.
You gave the answer to that in your last class. They can never imagine themselves broke. It's the idea, it's the exact reverse. The people who have the least will spend the most when they have it. You notice if you take kids to a little circus or something, the people who come with a single mother and the four kids, the wealthy, have all the paraphernalia they're selling, $12 flashlights to throw around Times Candy for six. Because they're the ones that are going to go to work Monday. They're going to ask you for a loan so they can go out to lunch. The guy who's a little better off, he's bringing his bag of lunch because he can imagine saving to get a bit. You told that story about the Chinese gentleman, I think. It's totally true. People have no concept of their own future. It's like, I better grab everything I can in a second because I can't imagine myself in a better shape. And they put advertising fees on that to some degree because it pays, make good money working in the credit card. You know, you're charging, what's the percentage they get out over here?
I don't know.
A lot more than inflation. I make money.
I had a friend from the army that got caught doing something he shouldn't have been doing, got sent to jail for a month or something like that. And every day in jail, you get a half shekel credit or a shekel credit or something like that, where you get, you know, and then after like eight credits, you get like a calling card so you can call home. He was a chayav bodet. His parents were wondering where he was. Normally he calls home every weekend and stuff like that. So there also happened to be a Coca-Cola machine there that only costed 3 shekels. So every 3 days, for the 30 days that he was in there, he'd get a Coca-Cola.
Wow.
Feel sorry for his parents.
Yeah. No wonder he was jailed.
So. Coming back to the Chafetz Chaim. So, this is a way of life, what Chafetz Chaim just said. A person should look at his expenses and spend what he can afford and slightly less than he can afford. One of our expenses on a steady basis should be money that goes into a savings account. People have to have savings, people have to have insurance, and people have to invest. There's no reason that a guy doesn't have money and doesn't have any investments. And investments doesn't mean in the stock market. A person has to do research before he invests. One of the biggest mistakes people make is they invest in things that they don't understand. And that's how people lose their money. You have someone who you trust, and that person really understands that area, so there's room to invest with the person. But very often what happens is you have a nephew, you have a cousin, you have an uncle who got taken in by a dealer, either a stockbroker that tells him he has a hot tip, or a Forex salesman who tells him, look at how much money you can make in no time, or some other scam like that. And then people put their money down. They don't know, and the guy who they're trusting doesn't really know either. And then people lose a lot of their savings. Sometimes people get cleaned out that way. So a person should have savings, and a person has to spend much less than he's earning. And this, by the way, is a new phenomenon. Up until 5 years ago, we used to have a clear divide in Machon Meir. The Europeans were always saving money. The Americans were always spending money. This was like a very interesting divide. Yeah, the Americans were waiting for the next check from their parents or whatever. And the Europeans always had a nice savings account and a continuous savings account. And you could see what happened at lunch. The American who couldn't afford to charge his credit card was going out and buying cigarettes and a popsicle stick, and the European was eating the Machon lunch and maintaining a good savings account. This changed in the last 5 years. I don't know why. Even the Europeans are spending like there's no tomorrow. So I don't know what happened. At least once upon a time we had half the Machon doing what was right, or half our department. So I'm saying this is something to think about. You got to have life insurance once you get married. You got to have good medical insurance. There are important things to spend your money on, and you also have to think to the future. I've been speaking to a lot of people, and I keep saying there's no reason that people don't own property. Every person that's working and making a living should be able to put aside enough money that over time they're going to have 10,000, 15,000 shekel on the side. It might take a year, it might take 2 years, but depending on a person's expenses, a person should strive to get there. Then you group together with 10 friends, you buy a piece of property, you start having one income. You start saving again. You take the money from that and you invest it a second time. Slowly but surely, you build up your assets. But you have to build up. There's no reason that people work like there's no tomorrow and spend like there's no tomorrow, and then they don't move forward in life. I know a lot of people who made a lot of money and kept spending it, and they have nothing to show for it afterwards. And then they want to retire, and they have to work pretty hard. You have to try and invest your money where you'll be making money, and in things that have a relatively low risk, even if the return isn't so high. But that's the direction to go. Instead, people spend, and people don't imagine that if you'd save every time instead of spending, so then in time you'll get there. And by the way, I don't think it's right that people put their change in the pushka. A person should calculate how much money he should give to charity, and that's what he should give, and try to invest it wisely. You have small change, get yourself a piggy bank, start putting it in there. The pushka is a nice thing. I'd rather you do charity where it matters. Want to put money in the pushka? Fine, put 30 agurot. That won't make you broke, I hope. 30 agurot makes sense, the equivalent of 8 cents. Fine. You could put 30 agurot every prayer, so you've given charity before prayer every time. I understand that makes sense. People put a whole shekel? I don't know, those shekels add up. You put a shekel twice a day before prayer, that's already, how much? 600 shekel a year? That's money. I'd rather you give it to the poor that really need it. And I'd rather you check if you can really afford that according to your income. People don't think about that. We live now in a community where the bus costs 330, 3 shekel and 30 agurot. So when we first moved there, we said, boy, is this cheap. This is nothing. Okay? So instead of taking a van to take the kids to school, we told them to take the bus. Okay, seems to make sense, right? Now let's do the math. 330 twice a day per child is 660. Let's say there are 4 kids going, so that's a little bit more than 25 shekel a day. Okay? times 6 days a week. So you're already talking about that 330 has cost you over 100 shekel a week. You don't think of it that way, right? 330. What's 330? The kid comes, you give him your small change, you got 330. But suddenly, 25 times 6, right? So you got 150 a week times 4, you're at 600 shekel a month, and that's on 330. Now imagine you're spending your 330s on giving a tzedakah here and tzedakah there. Is that really something you can afford? Is that something you should be giving? People don't think about the small change. If you'd start a piggy bank, you'd suddenly see that the small change can add up and you could end up with nice savings. And it has meaning. So I'm not against charity. I'm for charity. I'm for charity when it makes sense, when you can afford it, when it's achieving something, when it's given in the proper place.